This is Stateside for Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, we have ourselves a farm bill. The nearly $1 trillion farm bill got its final approval Tuesday from the Senate, and it will be signed Friday by President Obama in a ceremony at Michigan State University. This mega bill spells out 5 years of eating and farming policies in this country, what we grow, what we actually know about the food on our plates, and how much Uncle Sam will spend on all of this. Let's take a closer look now at the farm bill, what's in it, and what's drawing fire from critics, and really what it all means to Michigan consumers and Michigan farmers. For that, we welcome Ryan Findley, who's the National Legislative Counsel at the Michigan Farm Bureau. Welcome back to Stateside, Ryan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back on.
Good to have you. And we welcome David Schweikart back to Stateside. He's a Michigan State University professor in the Department of Agriculture, Food and Resource Economics. Hello, David.
Thank you.
There was so much back and forthing between the House and Senate in Washington, David, before a final package was hammered out. Is this farm bill a good one in your view?
Well, I think it's one that meets the objectives of a lot of the participants. I think it's one that provides some new risk management tools for farmers. It's one that does make some cuts in various programs in the farm bill. So I think there's a lot in it that several of the different participants wanted. The final vote in the House and the Senate was pretty strong in favor of the bill. So I think, by and large, it probably accomplished what most of the participants wanted.
Ryan, from your perspective with the Michigan Farm Bureau, is this a good bill?
I'm going to be a little more bullish than Dr. Schweikart. I think it's a great bill for Michigan farmers, Michigan consumers, and for our friends that are a little less fortunate that need to participate in some of the nutrition programs that are out there. So, yes, we think it's a very good bill. It does have a lot of reform. There's some changes in here that are very significant. We've talked about some of those in the past, but I think this bill is a paradigm shift in some type of farm policy that has existed for a long time, and it's a new model where a farmer has an opportunity to choose their level of risk management, and they're going to pay something on an annual basis for that risk management with no guarantee that they'll have something at the end of the year that's returned to them in the form of a payment. So that's a big deal from a farmer's perspective. At the same time, there's some great conservation programs in there, the nutrition programs in there, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the food stamp program is important to some, but from a farmer's perspective, there's new initiatives, new programs within the nutrition title that allow our Michigan commodities to be put into the nutrition program. So overall, I think it's a great bill for Michigan farmers.
All right, let's break down some of the components of this. We know it's a monster bill. We could probably talk all week and not tap everything that's in this bill. But I know many eyes were on what was or was not going to happen to the SNAP program. We see an $8.4 billion cut to the food stamp program. It's still nearly 80% of the farm bill funding. David, what do you feel that this will mean really on a day-to-day basis for the people who rely on SNAP?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note that $8 billion cut is over a 10-year period. So,
right.
It doesn't all fall during, say, the first year. Really what it does, it comes much closer to the Senate version than the House version. And what it does is tighten down some rules in the way that the states administer the program. And I'm not sure that it will result in all that large of a change of the actual amount of food stamp money that people might receive. I think it's going to result in some changes in how states administer that program.
So clearly, had the final bill gone more in the direction of what the House Republicans were looking for, then recipients would have definitely felt a bite.
I don't think there's any doubt. The House cut originally was $39 billion. The Senate was $4 billion, and they came down to a final cut of $8 billion. And that's a pretty large gap between the two bodies, and it came out much closer to the Senate side than the House.
Ryan, I want to get into one of the biggest changes, and it's controversial in this farm bill, affecting farmers, and that effect that it puts an end to cash payments made directly to farmers regardless of their profits. So explain to especially those of us who are not farmers, talk to us about the new crop insurance program that replaces those subsidies.
Right. Well, I'll give you from a farmer's perspective, there was a program that you're absolutely right. For corn, soybean, wheat growers, it was referred to as a program crop. For those that raised those commodities, they received an annual payment directly from the federal government, and that's where the name direct payment came from. And I think Dr. Schweikart could give you some more background, mm-hmm. but the federal government has been very involved for a long time in manipulating the market of commodities, whether it's preventing the amount of acres that could be planted, or if the price of a commodity is dropped below a certain level, the government has bought that commodity to remove it from the marketplace and store it in a facility. And then we had the 1996 Farm Bill that said we're going to move away from all of those government programs. We're going to allow farmers to plant what they want, when they want, and where they want. But because we're going from very involved government to not a lot of involvement, we're going to do this transition payment. That transition payment became the direct payment that went directly from the federal government to the farmer. This farm bill eliminates that program. It was an expensive program, and a lot of farmers in Michigan are saying it doesn't provide the safety net that I need. If I have a bad year, I get that payment. If I have a good year, I still get that payment. We want a safety net that functions where if we have a rough year, and whether that is poor market conditions or whether it's poor weather conditions, that there is some safety net, some mechanism that's going to help that farmer through the tough year and allow them to get into the next year to produce another crop and hopefully be successful. So we transition away from direct payments and into a new risk management model, which is crop insurance. And crop insurance functions in a similar fashion to a car insurance or a homeowner's insurance. You go to a private crop insurance company. Even though the program is through the federal government, it's administered in the countryside through private crop insurance companies. And you say, I want to protect my field of corn or my field of soybeans or my apple orchard, and I want to protect it at this amount. And there's a lot of variables, just like there are for other types of insurance. And then a premium is generated, and that insurance company says the premium to insure that commodity is this amount. And the federal government pays a portion of that, and the farmer pays a portion of that. And then that commodity is protected for that year. And that's where I say that we really go through a major shift in farm policy. Long term, this is a big shift where the government isn't automatically giving the farmer a payment. There is an opportunity here where a farmer chooses their level of coverage, they pay the government or they pay this private insurance company the premium, and then there is no guarantee that they're going to receive something back. If there's a disaster, it acts as a safety net, catches that farm, and allows them to get into the next year. And that is really significant, and it's what a lot of farmers throughout Michigan want.
David Schweikert, there are critics of this who say, wait, the taxpayers are still taking on most of the risk for farmers, and it doesn't limit subsidies given to the wealthiest farmers. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, there are a couple of different issues there. First, with regard to the risk that taxpayers are absorbing, it is true that taxpayers will continue to subsidize crop insurance. In fact, the bill pretty much shifted the direct payment money from direct payments over to crop insurance. However, crop insurance does require producers to buy into that insurance, and so farmers are basically sharing more of the risk than they used to. This is an important evolution in U.S. ag policy, probably one of the most important in the history of farm programs in the past 80 years or so, because it is moving farm programs towards an insurance basis. Government will probably always have a hand in supporting that insurance, and there's a very specific reason why that is. Agriculture risk is not like a lot of other risks. If you and I and millions of other people all buy automobile insurance, we will not all have an auto accident on the same day.
Right.
when we have a disaster in agriculture, such as, say, a drought or a freeze on a fruit farm, it tends to impact a large share of the production. We lost about 90% of the Michigan cherry crop a couple of years ago. That's unheard of in any other type of insurance. So insurers are probably not going to be willing to absorb that much risk themselves. The insurance companies will not. And so there's probably always going to be some involvement by the government in crop insurance. But it moves farm programs in a more market-oriented direction than we've had historically. Now, with regard to the payments to large farmers, it is very true that there were some other ideas that would have tightened down payment limitations that were proposed in this debate, and those proposals were not accepted. And this is going to continue to be a rather controversial issue. The bottom line is the top 20% of U.S. farms produce about 80% of the output of U.S. agriculture. And so anything at all that is done is likely to be top-loaded towards that larger end of the spectrum. And I'm not sure that you can ever will ever completely be able to wipe that away. At the same time, as government in general faces the issue of where we are going to spend scarce budget money, the distributional issues of whether we're taxing lower-income taxpayers to subsidize higher-income farmers will continue in the foreseeable future.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about the $1 trillion farm bill that will be signed this Friday by President Obama in a ceremony at Michigan State University. As we speak with Michigan State University Professor David Schweikart and also Ryan Findley, who's with the Michigan Farm Bureau. You know, there are critics who say this bill is just too expensive, that it was supposed to save money. Its backers will point to the $16.5 billion that it cuts from the deficit over the next decade, compared with just extending the previous law. Do we know, Ryan, for sure, if those projected savings will even materialize?
Well, no, but we also don't know that the projected costs will be where they're at. They could be higher. They could be lower. You have the Congressional Budget Office that scores or looks at the program that existed, so it looked at the old farm bill, and it said if we continue this program and for the next 10 years, this is what we estimate it would cost. And then they take the proposed legislation, which was signed, will be signed into law on Friday, but passed both the House and Senate, and it scores that bill. And it says relative to the previous, the 2008 farm bill, this will save $16.5 billion, and then there's some other sequestration provisions that go in there, so you may see the number it saves $23 billion. But those are really estimates at are we going to see a trend in commodity prices continue? Will it soften? How much will it soften? Will the economy improve and will more people leave nutrition programs because they're on solid footing again? At what rate will that happen? There's a lot of estimates, and they can be very accurate, but they can also be off a little bit. So there's a lot of variables that happen. It is a big bill. There's no question about that. But it's important, and a very important bill. And you know, for those that are out there receiving nutrition benefits, 80% of the bill, 80% of the bill goes for nutrition programs, and that's very important. So, is there a lot of money going to agriculture? Sure, there is. But out of that 20%, we have crop insurance. We have some very solid conservation programs. There are some trade implications. There's several programs that are wrapped up into that 20% that benefits rural Michigan.
David, there's certainly there's an aspect of this bill that's going to be noticed by any consumer who goes to the grocery store and buys meat. What can you tell us about what this bill is going to do about enlightening us as to what we're eating?
The 2002 Farm Bill actually introduced the concept of country of origin labeling, which I assume you're referring
yes,
to.
Yes, yes.
And that was implemented pretty quickly on things like produce. It was much slower to be implemented on the issue of meats in terms of particularly imported meat products. And there are a variety of reasons for that. Primarily, it's very difficult for the labeling to sort of follow all the way through with regard to meat. We also have a lot of movement of cattle back and forth across U.S. and Canadian or U.S.-Mexican borders. A calf born in Michigan might actually go to Canada to be fed, and then when it's mature, come back into the U.S. and be slaughtered. Is that a Michigan animal? Is that a Canadian animal? What is that? And so there's a lot of legitimate complexities with meat that do not exist elsewhere. And so we originally passed COOL in 2002. It was implemented for produce then. We could not reach conclusions on implementing it for meat. So the 2008 Farm Bill then introduced some specific definitions to try to deal with the meat issue. And then those rules continued to evolve in this Farm Bill. And so consumers will be seeing some changes in labeling and so forth that will identify more about where the countries where animals are from. And so they'll probably notice that difference. And as the packers begin to sort through that, we'll see how all that is implemented.
And finally, just the thought that this is extremely significant bill, and it just so happens that the state of Michigan will be in the national spotlight this Friday at your own campus, David.
Yes, and I think it's very appropriate because I've argued for a very long time that every national issue that plays out in a farm bill plays out in Michigan in a microcosm. And that is because Michigan has a very diverse agriculture, has a lot of fruits and vegetables. The other Midwestern states do not. Dairy, however, is the largest agricultural product here in Michigan, so every dairy issue plays out in Michigan. Michigan produces sugar beets, which most of the other Midwestern states do not. So sugar policy is also more important in Michigan. Environmental issues are more important in Michigan. So however this came about, I do feel it's appropriate because I think every policy issue that affects the National Farm Bill plays out in Michigan some way. And I think the role that Senator Stabenow played in this Farm Bill demonstrates that.
And Ryan Finley, final word, as President Obama comes to Michigan State University to sign this Farm Bill?
Well, I think I would agree with David. It's pretty neat that we don't have a farm bill every year. It's pretty, it doesn't happen all the time that we have a farm bill signed into law. And it's not every day that the president comes to your state and signs legislation. So for Michigan farmers, for those that are engaged in this discussion, this is a pretty cool event. We're pleased that the president's going to come and sign the bill on Michigan State's campus Friday.
Ryan Findley, National Legislative Counsel at the Michigan Farm Bureau, and David Schweikart, Michigan State University professor in the Department of Agriculture, Food, and Resource Economics. Very good to talk to both of you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.